Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I didn't know we had an intro to Ben Clips.
We do now.
But I do like that. I was just in the back talking to Donnie Chedrick, a.k.a. Donnie Football. He gets in early, doesn't he, Limits?
He does. Football returns in August.
A very dedicated man, is he?
Very good man.
When's he getting married?
On my birthday.
Which is what?
That's what I was waiting to see if you remembered my birthday.
Of course not. When's your birthday?
Well, March 21st.
Oh, my God. Wait. Oh, next year.
Yes, yeah, that's okay. Past.
I thought March was coming up.
You thought we were living in February, not the 1st of May.
Do you think I'm going to get invited to Donnie's wedding?
I do. I may or may not know who's going to Donnie's wedding out of the fan group, the fan staff.
Yeah.
I think you should be there. I can't remember if you're on the list, but I think you are.
I've been very nice to Donnie. Would you agree with
that? Yes, you have been very, very kind to
Donnie. We have a very good rapport. We did the Donnie Football Fridays. I took you guys out for a nice steak dinner.
That was a great dinner. Yeah. We're still just raving about that dinner.
Reveling. We're still reveling.
Reveling, yes.
Yeah, is maybe the better word.
Sometimes
there.
I just screw up letters or words.
Raving is okay
meaning
there.
One thing.
Yeah. I think there's a better choice there, but you still chose a decent
you
word.
You know, I think I need to have a Malsy thesaurus in front of me for the show at all times.
A Malsaurus. Yes, fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Ben never disappoints. I think he has a big new sponsor for his podcast, Footballin' with Spence. And he was talking about a number of topics this week that you and I both wanted to riff on for a little while. Oh, Limitless Wonder. So why don't you tell us what he's talking about here and play the clip.
Yes, on Footballin', Ben discussed if the Steelers need to set a firm deadline for Aaron Rodgers and if it has to be soon.
I don't think because you drafted him in the sixth, all of a sudden you're like, okay, we're done.
Sure.
And he's talking about Will Howard.
I think if you would have drafted a guy like in the first or you're, you know, try to trade up in the second round, then that might make you feel differently. But I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know what it's going to do to the Rodgers pursuit. At some point, though, they need to set a deadline because at some point, Aaron needs to be start learning the offense. I mean, you know, start get with the guys. Yeah. So what is that cutoff date? I don't know. Only Coach Tomlin and Mr. Rooney and Omar know that.
Mr. Rooney and Omar know that. We're all assuming what the cutoff date is. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, again, I'll throw it out there. Total hearsay and speculation. But
don't count it as a credible, accurate report. Don't go tweeting it. At Joe Starkey said, Aaron Rodgers is in Pittsburgh.
No,
he'll sign.
No, I said I had heard through the grapevine that he was playing golf in Pittsburgh yesterday, but I'm in no position. I didn't verify.
My cousin's brother's wife's nephew said, Aaron Rodgers is in Pittsburgh.
It was a little better than that, Malsy. I mean, Limits. Why am I calling you Malsy the whole day today? I don't know why
kinda
I'm
strange.
Doing that. I'm just throwing out there what I heard. You know, this isn't 60 minutes here. It's a
you're not Scott Pelley out here breaking news.
The sports talk radio. So the way I've designed the show is that we're all sitting at a bar talking. So I'm talking to you and everybody out there. Yeah, that's what I heard yesterday. I honestly don't know if it's true, but that's what I heard.
I'll pull up a chair, Grandpa Joe, if you have anything else to share.
Yeah. I mean, at one time when I was the savvy old news hound and covering the Penguins, you know, I had to verify with sources and make sure that something was concrete before I put it in print and all that. But this ain't that. This is me, you, and thousands of others, especially judging from our robust ratings for a long time now, just talking at a bar. That's all we're doing. And that's what I heard. So are my eyes open to something maybe happening? Sure they are. Something could happen. Then again, it's Aaron Rodgers we're dealing with, so who the hell knows? Tomlin basically threw out training camp as a deadline, in so many words, last week. That would be ridiculous, because Ben is right. And what we've been talking about, the obvious. This guy, it's not the Jets anymore. It's not, I'm going to use my terminology, my system, my coordinator, my people, I'm running the show. They may give him a lot of latitude here, but he's going to have to learn a new system and develop a rapport with new guys. And I don't know that, you know, 3 or 4 weeks of training camp is enough for that. I don't even think a year would be enough, because I don't think he's that good anymore. But certainly he has to get here at some point for some sessions before training camp. Do you agree with that?
I do, and maybe they tipped their hand a little bit by not taking a quarterback.
I've done everything for Mosey. Sorry.
That they are convinced that Rodgers is going to be the guy. And, I mean, by all accounts, the way that Art was discussing it during the draft, the way that Tomlin was talking about it, not as in-depth and in detail as Art, they seem, I don't want to put a percentage on it, but pretty convinced, just by the way that they're going about it and the way that they're talking, that Rodgers is going to come here. Like Art saying, yeah, he's going to sign soon.
There was a time that I didn't believe it, that I was wavering. I thought after the McAfee interview.
Me too.
That it was, why is he throwing out like a $10 million figure, first of all, because that just doesn't sound realistic. He doesn't sound overly interested. He said, go ahead and move on if you want, that type of thing. Now I'm starting to wonder if that was all an act, too, when they actually have had pretty much the outline of a deal.
What, to play the good guy for Rodgers, to try to be like, hey, it's not about me, not try to sound selfish?
Yeah, just to sound like he's a man with many distractions and many things happening in his life, and he'll make the decision when he wants to. Whereas maybe it's always been understood that he was going to sign here. I don't know. We're trying to figure out Aaron Rodgers. But at some point, if he's going to be your quarterback, he has to develop a rapport with his people and has to master the terminology and all of that.
It's four nights of complete darkness.
And that ain't going to work, the four nights of complete darkness right now. What else did Ben say?
Did Ben take a shot at Mulsey?
Oh, so I heard a little bit of this yesterday on their show.
Yeah,
tell me the storyline here.
So Mulsey,
but let me give you the history first.
Sure.
Mulsey has been highly critical of Ben for many years, and Ben, I don't think, likes Mulsey. One time, Ben came in and recorded some things for us and mispronounced Mulsey's name. I think he called him Mueller. I don't know that it was intentional, by the way, but it seemed like Mulsey had already been on the air for many years at that point. It's not like Joe Grashecki mispronouncing Mulsey before the station ever got off the ground. This was with Mulsey as a well-established superstar on the station, Ben still calling him Mueller. So there's a little bit of history here, and that provides the background.
Do you think that Ben listens to Filippini and Mueller?
I do, yeah.
Do you think so? Do you think that's what he calls them? That Andrew Filippini guy,
yeah,
and Chris Mueller?
I think so. I think Ben has listened for years.
I hope so.
I don't think... What?
I like Ben.
Do you?
Yeah.
You ever met him?
No.
I'm not saying he's not likable, but I'm just curious if you've met him.
No, I wish I've met him.
Then how do you know whether to like him or not?
No, I just like him from everything they did for the Steelers growing up as the...
As a player.
Childhood,
yeah.
You know, quarterback, superstar, winning Super Bowls.
The persona of Ben, and Ben as a player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But if Ben starts taking shots at me next after he took a shot at Malzi.
Right. Well, we don't know if he took a shot at Malzi, but that just provides you the background.
Let's find out.
I don't think Ben is a huge fan of Mueller.
You know, there was someone I heard, there was a knock. Well, he played with a bunch of NFL caliber talent. Well, what's he going to be playing with now? Who did he beat NFL caliber talent teams to?
Right.
You know, it's just, that's the most ridiculous.
Wait, that's regarding Will Howard at Ohio State.
You know, there was someone I heard there was a knock. Well, he played with a bunch of NFL caliber talent. Well, what's he going to be playing with now? Who did he beat NFL caliber talent teams to?
Right.
You know, it's just, that's the most ridiculous remark I've ever heard. I don't even know who made it.
Because Malzi's, one of his arguments was Will Howard, Ohio State, like he's playing with Jeremiah Smith, Abuka is a first round pick.
Are you sure that's one of Mueller's arguments? Because I was listening yesterday and Mueller didn't remember that.
What was Mueller's argument? Because I was listening at the same time.
I don't know that Mueller had a Will Howard argument, was he?
If you were listening,
but the disdain with which Ben referred to this person,
yes,
that has Pony, myself, and others thinking it was Mueller. Let's listen one more time and then focus at the end on the absolute disgust and disdain that Ben has for whoever this is, making us think maybe it is Mueller.
You know, there was someone I heard, there was a knock. Well, he played with a bunch of NFL caliber talent. Well, what's he going to be playing with now? Who did he beat NFL caliber talent teams to?
Right.
You know, it's just, that's the most ridiculous remark I've ever heard. I don't even know who made it.
It might be Mueller.
It might be. Poor Malzi.
Now, Donnie was very skeptical at first until they replayed it just like that. And we heard at the end that it's somebody. It was more than just, you know, Ben watching on ESPN. It sounded a little bit personal at the end.
And like that, it was local.
And if it's personal, could be a number of people, but Mueller is definitely in play. Correct? Is there any more to that? Any more clips or anything?
We have what Ben said about Will Howard, the advice to Will Howard, but nothing else on taking shots at Mueller.
Okay. I think they ended it with Mueller believing it was him, right?
I mean, I'm starting to trend in that direction. I don't know if I'm set in stone on it.
If you had to bet right now, was that Mueller based or no?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes.
I am too. I think it was. All right, what else did Ben say?
Ben discussed the advice that he has for Will Howard on potentially becoming a starter.
There's no pressure. He needs to understand, and I would tell him this, you don't have pressure, bud. You are the sixth rounder. There's no pressure. He should go into this thing with like, I can play free.
Oh, yeah,
I have no pressure. Now, I absolutely think he should come in here with the mindset of, this is my job. Sure. I want to be the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers for the next 15, 18, 20 years. That should be his mentality. I hope, and I would tell him to do it the right way. Sure. Do it like Charlie Batch did, like Bruce Gradkowski, like Byron Leftwich, like Landry, some of those guys that came in that were like, listen, what can I do, Ben? How can I help you? How can I prepare you to be the starter, be ready to play? I'm going to go now, do my thing and get myself prepared, study, work. You need anything? Okay, I'm back to that. That's the proper way. Sure. It'll naturally unfold itself. If you're out here preparing yourself and you're not trying to undermine the starter, cut his legs out and this, that, and the other, but you just naturally are doing things right and the team's seeing you work and the team seeing you build up the starter to helping the team win, and all of a sudden you're performing a little better in practice, and it's like, okay, now go ahead and get your shot with the ones, and you get, and it's good, and you're being a good teammate, and you're still high-fiving the other quarterback, and then all of a sudden it's like, get another series with the ones. Just let it happen.
Hold on a second here. I did not pre-hear that clip. Is it me, or was Mason Rudolph excluded from the clip?
Yeah.
And B, Ben believes that a sixth round pick, clearly he believes this, could come in and challenge Rudolph right away.
It sounds like Ben is manifesting Will Howard to get considerable time to actually be a QB1 or at least the backup. Yeah.
He mentioned everybody but Omar Jacobs as guys who have come in as backups into camp and been respectful of the starter and knowing their place. I don't think he mentioned Mr. Mason Rudolph. Let me hear that clip again. Maybe. Now, listen. And this happens a lot. We can only speculate when Ben talks. We're speculating on whether he was implicating Mueller with the previous comment. Maybe Mason just slipped his mind here. But I'm sorry. You can't help but notice that he mentioned like six backup quarterbacks without mentioning Mason. Let's hear it again.
No mention of Super Bowl champion Chris Oladokun either.
There's no pressure. He needs to understand, and I would tell him this. You don't have pressure, bud. You are the sixth rounder. There's no pressure. He should go into this thing with like, I can play free.
Oh, yeah,
I have no pressure. Now, I absolutely think he should come in here with the mindset of, this is my job. Sure. I want to be the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers for the next 15, 18, 20 years. That should be his mentality. I hope, and I would tell him to do it the right way. Sure. Do it like Charlie Batch did, like Bruce Gretkowski, like Byron Leftwich, like Landry, some of those guys that came in that were like, listen, what can I do, Ben? How can I help you? How can I prepare you to be the starter, be ready to play? I'm going to go now, do my thing and get myself prepared, study, work. You need anything? Okay, I'm back to that. That's the proper way. Sure. It'll naturally unfold itself. If you're out here preparing yourself and you're not trying to undermine the starter, cut his legs out and this, that, and the other, but you just naturally are doing things right and the team's seeing you work and the team seeing you build up the starter to helping the team win, and all of a sudden you're performing a little better in practice.
There was a key word that I heard in there.
He's also implying that maybe there was somebody here who was trying to cut the legs out of the starter.
Undermine the starter is what I took from that.
Are we being paranoid here? Is this all about Mason?
I think it is. Is that what the Mason situation was?
I mean, we do have the evidence that when Mason got drafted, Ben was ticked off and said, basically, what are they doing? Is this guy going to help us right away? We know for a fact that him and Mason were never buddies.
No. Undermine, though?
Are we reading too much into this, oh, limitless wonder?
Probably, but...
Maybe not.
Could Mason Rudolph have realistically undermined Ben to be able to position himself to be the starter? Look, I don't think that Mason, the competitor in him, maybe took him to the point where, yes, I can beat out Ben. He's on the back nine, approaching 18. Like, I could actually do this. Realistically, though, was that something that he actually...
You want to come in here and be very humble, like these 16 backup quarterbacks I'm about to mention, not Mason, and then you certainly don't want to undermine or cut the legs out from the starting quarterback, and you have every chance to compete, basically, is what Ben is saying.
Basically, know your place. And
know your place, A, but B... I think he's insinuating that if it's just him and Mason, that Mason is vulnerable.
Yes.
He's certainly not saying, well, you know, there is a starter here.
Well, and he's also saying, like, you can work towards it. If you're a good teammate, that could also build you up reps. There's another way to do it, maybe a respectful way to do it, going up against the starter, put in the work, and don't try anything shady to try
to... What if this guy's good?
Howard?
Yeah, what if he is? Listen... I keep reading accuracy is one of the issues, but he did complete 73% of his passes at Ohio State.
Well, he also had like a year back there to throw.
Yeah, I know. That's the next story. But just because he went to Ohio State where they have all that talent and he had plenty of time to throw and all that, I think it's a reasonable argument to say that's why his accuracy took a profound leap. But what if he just became a better player? Like, you can't say definitively that was the reason he was an accurate passer. Maybe he's become an more accurate passer. It is concerning that at Kansas State, he was not. He was below 60%. Well, he didn't have a lot of attempts.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
His last year, he was 61-3, which is still awful.
He was more of a runner at Kansas State.
So there's a reason he lasted until he did, but that's also an enticing part of his, resume, isn't it? That he can run a little bit, that he's built like Ben. I think Ben referred to him as people saying he's Ben 2.0
yes.
In terms of, I hope he meant in terms of like body type and things like that. Cause nobody's saying he's Ben 2.0 as a player.
Personality wise or
why did he last this long limits in your opinion?
So I watched a lot of Ohio State games this year. I was at the Penn State-Ohio State game that Will Howard played in.
Yeah.
Where he threw a pick six on like the third or fourth offensive possession for Ohio State.
I remember it well.
Every time I watch them, now the playoffs, it was a little bit different. He had a really good game in the national championship, put some balls right on the money. He gets a little bit from just what I've witnessed. It seems like he gets a little bit hesitant in the pocket when pressure starts to collapse in on him, and that's where things like he doesn't really have the ability to escape the pocket and make a big play.
Yeah,
where he kind of panics a little bit. The character, I mean, watching those videos that the NFL was putting out, those like "Hey Rookie" series that they do, him sitting at the draft, the embrace that he had with his mom, I thought was pretty cool. Like, it just seems like he's a really high character guy. From watching all those and seeing the interviews that he did in the pre-draft process with the media.
Nobody cares about that limit.
Right.
Let's talk about him on the field.
Pure quarterback-wise.
I want a quarterback. You know, if he's a jerk like Ben was early in his career, I'm good with that.
I just feel like when the biggest moments collapse in, and that's kind of hard to say because he won a national championship, but there were a lot of moments earlier on in the season where I was a little concerned by some of the decisions that he made, and really by Ohio State at times taking the ball out of his hands to just rely on Judkins, rely on Trevion Henderson, run the ball.
Well, that was the story of the Michigan game, right?
Yes.
He threw two interceptions in the Michigan game.
They were not letting Will Howard cook, and when he did, he burned down the kitchen with a couple interceptions.
Does Will Howard cook? I don't know. He cooked against Oregon.
He did.
Two games. The first one, he was 28-30. Of course, he didn't do so well at the end of that game with his decision-making.
Yeah, with the slide.
That was the worst slide I've seen since Tyler Palko at UConn all those years ago.
I thought you were going to say Gregory Polanco trying to slide into second base.
Oh, right, O'Neill Cruz at home.
Yeah.
There's been a history of bad slides. He did cook there, though, 28-35, 326, two touchdowns, no picks.
Was the game in Eugene or the game at the Rose Bowl?
In Eugene, and then in the rematch, they put up 41 points.
Oh, he was great in the Rose Bowl.
He was 17-26 for 319, three touchdowns and no picks. Believe me, I have an open mind on this guy. I do. I have a totally open mind. I tend, though, in the end, to lean toward those numbers probably did take a radical jump because of all the talent around him.
I don't think he's going to be a starter, but a capable backup. Like Landry Jones,
Do you think Ben will take an indirect shot at me like he did Mueller for saying that?
If so, I hope we find it and we play it over and over and over again. If Will Howard becomes Landry Jones for a 6th round pick, I would take it.
Oh, come on. You take a guy because you think he can play.
Yeah, but you don't take
a
guy
take
in the sixth
round. You don't take him to be Landry Jones.
You don't take a guy in the sixth round if you think he's your starting quarterback.
Then don't take him at all. If you're not taking a guy who has a ceiling, what are you taking him for?
You need backups, too.
Draft a guy to be a career backup? Then don't draft him at all. Just bring in a vet to do that.
In the sixth round, are you looking for starters in the sixth round? Aren't you looking for more like depth? Sixth, seventh
in a
round, undrafted
in a quarterback,
guys.
I'm taking a lottery pick type guy who has talent that I think can make it. And this guy, I think they may look at him like that.
Yeah, and he has some talent.
If you're drafting backup, you just made a... If he's Landry Jones, then he's going to be out of the league in 10 minutes.
Landry Jones had what, like a 6-7 year career and won them some games as a backup?
What are we talking about here,
Limits?
It's
not a horrible career. To step in when needed,
just go bring
two
in the
games
next
a year.
Bring in Bruce Gradkowski or Charlie Batch, veterans who can come in and be your backup. I want to draft a guy who at least has a big chance.
Well, if you draft a guy that has a big chance, don't you think the likelihood is it would have been in the first or second or third round?
By the way, Landry Jones had a 3-year career, okay?
Oh, I thought it was longer than that.
No.
No, I apologize to Will Howard for comparing him to Landry Jones.
Then you should apologize to Landry Jones. For overselling his career.
I should compliment Landry Jones for overselling his career. I tried to give him more credit than was due.
You already did compliment him, but it was false complimenting. He had -1 yards rushing in his career. Actually, -19 yards rushing. Come on. This guy's more talented than Landry Jones, Limits.
Do we know that?
Yes, we know that. I already know that.
Landry Jones was a 4th-round pick. He also won them 3 games. Landry Jones... 3-2 career record. How about
let
that?
Me try to guess the game.
How about that?
Do you have his reference card in front of you?
Give me 1 second to find.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. Find his game log from his career. I consider myself a Landry Jones expert.
Oh, do you?
A Landry Jones. I got my PhD in Landry Jones. One of his games I certainly remember because I dropped my car keys in dirty toilet water at the Sheraton downtown. And was doing a pregame show, Steelers, we used to do it at the Gateway Clipper, and just had a horrible morning. I could feel something going wrong during the pregame show. Went in, had more blowouts than the Warriors-Rockets series, and then dropped my keys in that batch of water, and then went home and I couldn't go cover the game. I had to call in sick for the game. And it was Landry Jones against the Arizona Cardinals with Martavis Bryant on the other end of some of those passes. And he looked like John Elway, for God's sakes, or Joe Montana, or whoever you want to name. He was unbelievable that day.
Week 6, 2015, he was 8 of 12, 168 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a 25-13 victory at home against the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes, he was.
How about that?
And that was not a horrible Cardinals team, at least as Cardinals teams go. All right, now I have to think about the other games that he won. He's 3-2. So I think there was the famous game against Cleveland where Ben was allegedly injured, but then Landry Jones was really injured, and Ben magically came into the game and threw for like 350 yards. I do remember that day. Who else did Landry blanking Jones beat? Well, everybody beat the Bengals and the Browns. I'm going to give him one against either one of those two, yes?
There is no victory that he had against Cincinnati, no.
Any against Cleveland?
2, yes.
There you go.
There you
of
go.
Course.
He beat the Browns in week 17 in 2017, 27-14 in overtime. Wait, that was the 2016 season. That was the 0-16 Browns,
wasn't
it? How
would it be 27-14 in overtime? They scored 27-24. Twice in overtime?
27-24. I misspoke.
Oh.
27-24. Landry threw 3 touchdowns, 277 yards. Was it the game winner to Kobe Hamilton?
I think it might have been.
Wasn't it? Or maybe I'm thinking about the game the next year.
Wait, was that the game that dropped the Browns to 0-16?
Yes, the 0-16 Browns game.
And then I watched Hugh Jackson. I remember interviewing him after the game. Well, everybody was in. I was in the room with Hugh Jackson where he came in and he had been 1-32 over his first 2 years. And he actually said not everybody could have gone 1-32 with this team. He said that after the game.
That's pretty impressive.
He also promised to jump into Lake Erie if they went winless. So I think somebody might have asked him about that. And then all the Browns guys went and talked to Jimmy Haslam. And so I went with them in the hallway, and he had some ridiculous things to say. That was the Landry Jones game?
Remember when they threw a parade in Cleveland after going 0-16 around the stadium? Oh, that's one of my favorites.
Hold on a second. This was a legendary game. Because the other thing that happened is Sammy Coates might have caught a touchdown. And, oh, yeah, here it is. Here's my headline. You know what the headline on my story was? Was this December 31st, 2017?
It would have been the first, actually.
Okay. Yeah, well, you're looking at the next day.
Oh, I'm looking at the previous year. Yes, they did play on December 31st, 2017. 28-24 was the final.
Yes, it
was. Landry Jones, 239, a touchdown, 85% completion rate.
He was unbelievable. And the headline on my column from that day is, and I quote, "Oh my God, the Cleveland Browns." Because they were the story. I just witnessed a team finish an 0-16 season. You don't see that every day, Limits.
No, I remember watching that and kind of breaking out into laughter at the very end of it when they went 0-16. I was so excited to see history.
And here was the Hugh Jackson quote afterwards. He said, "I don't think anybody else could have stayed in this job for 2 years and been 1-31. He said that out loud. He should have been fired before he got off the podium. He might have been the worst coach in NFL history. Jimmy Haslam said, "I don't think anybody predicted 0-16. That was disappointing."
Disappointing. Wow, we're really bringing out the big adjectives for that one.
And the other thing that happened is there was an obituary from Cleveland, from Mansfield, Ohio, 3 days before that game. And here's how it appeared on legacy.com. And I quote, "Paul Stark," no relation to me, "Paul Stark passed away on December 27th, 2017 of complications from a brief illness exacerbated by the hopeless condition of the Cleveland Browns."
Oh, boy.
That's what his family put on there. It was
disappointing.
Amazing
season, Jimmy Haslam and the Browns. That's sad. That's really sad.
The Browns were not disappointing. They were absurd, comical, surreal, pathetic, and historically hideous. The only other team that had gone 0-16 was the 2008 Detroit Lions. And I don't know why I'm still talking about this, but I'll never forget that game. Don't look at the box score. Get that off your screen.
The Landry Jones box score?
Yes, don't cheat like you did yesterday on the trivia questions.
I did not cheat.
Everybody thought you did after the show.
And the one trivia question that you gave, you said the answer. You slipped up and didn't know you said it.
You got three trivia questions right on the nose, including how many guys have scored 70-point games in NBA history.
That's because you said it.
No, you said 15. Even Bob thought accused you of lying.
You know
why?
He never
makes
accusations. Whatever Bob's guess was, I just decided I was going to go two or three higher than Bob.
Who was the Browns quarterback in that game that they went 0-16?
Again, I don't have anything in front of me. I think I know it. It wouldn't have been DeShone Kizer. Kizer was a couple years later.
I like you. You pulled a Mulsey there.
Was it DeShone Kizer?
Knowing the answer and there then phrasing it like that.
You just doubt my
wouldn't
ball knowledge.
Wouldn't have been DeShone Kizer. Would it have been?
You doubt my
you
ball
just looked
knowledge.
At the box score.
Nope. Look, again, did not look at the box score. You're doubting my integrity.
That game was incredible. Here's some of the things that happened that day, Limits. DeShone Kizer called timeout with 2 seconds left in the first quarter when he could have let the clock run out. The clock was running. They weren't down on the play clock, and he called timeout with 2 seconds left in the first quarter.
It's a well-coached team right there.
By mid-second quarter, the Browns were being outgained by the Steelers 169 to minus 16. Their first series of the game netted minus 20 yards. They actually got a turnover for the first time in a month and a half. They finally converted their first down on a third and long when Duke Johnson took a screen pass and ran 30 yards and then fumbled. And they dropped to 3-26 in their previous 29 against the Steelers. And guess who I interviewed in the Browns locker room? Sammy Coates.
Wow, I forgot
Steeler
he was
receiver.
On that team.
He said, "People can talk about this all they want. It's over. You can't redo anything." Oh, was that legendary? What a day. And then, yeah, then Hugh Jackson said people could find him swimming in Lake Erie.
Who was it that said that Chase Claypool is here to replace somebody's job? Was it Sammy Coates' job?
I think it was, yeah. And then he broke all his fingers. He's the only guy I ever saw with 10 broken fingers at once. All right, Limits. Anything else from Ben?
We do have what Ben said about Will Howard bouncing back against Oregon before the draft, if you would like to hear that.
I'll hear that next.
Let's do it.
Let's tease to that next. And then at the top of the hour, we have Brian Batko. No, we don't.
No, we don't.
We have Sean Gentile. No, we don't. Who do we have at the top
you
of the hour?
You still need to send me over some information for Gentile that you didn't do it. And I asked you multiple times if you could.
You mean his phone number?
Yes.
Who's the other guy we have today?
We have
DeFabo.
DeFabo yeah. at one.
Okay. Well, how are we going to get Gentile if we haven't even asked him yet? That's a good question, isn't it?
We'll see if
now this is
my
the
powers
second...
of booking guests are on full display.
This is the second day in a row where you've blamed me for something that was clearly your fault. What was yesterday's incident?
I don't remember.
Remember you came in here and I said, Limits, why didn't you tell me that before this? Oh, when Dan Zangrilli walked in.
Yes, when Dan came in, because...
And it happened every day right around this time we have a malfunction. I said, up next, we're going to talk about Ben and this and that.
And I was
and you didn't say, no, Joe, Zangrilli's on.
Because I didn't want to correct you on the air and make you look bad.
You could have corrected me in my ear off the air.
I thought you knew that Zangrilli was coming on because we talked about it at our pre-show call and that Zangrilli's always on at noon on
Clearly
Wednesdays.
Clearly I didn't because I teased ahead Darren Rogers' talk. And now today, the same thing is happening.
We're
Linus.
Dishing out all of our marriage issues to the Pompulus. The Pompulus. Now they know.
If Bob were here, this wouldn't be happening.
No.
Can I hear Alvin and Aliquippa one more time? Just because I need that.
Just because
right
you want that? You need that? Need
Alvin it. And Aliquippa is on the line right now. Hello, Alvin. How are you?
Hey, Bob. You think Gino's very backup for you?
I didn't expect Alvin, you dog, you.
The wheeze at the very end there is what gets you.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman... Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Limits, you had one more Ben quote that you'd like us to hear, yes?
Yes, Ben was discussing on football and before the draft a little bit more about what he liked from Will Howard, especially in that game we mentioned where he slid against Oregon and Eugene in what ultimately ended up being the final play and they couldn't get a timeout called.
They're driving down the field to win the game against, I think, number one ranked Oregon at the time. And Oregon is a team that everyone was, figuring it's going to be the national champion. They're driving down the field, and he takes off running towards the end of the game with no timeouts, I believe. And I might screw this up, but my overall reasoning of the story will make sense. He slides or gets down, gets tackled. Something happens, and the clock runs out. Mm-hmm. They have no time to spike it, no time to run another play. Like, the game ends with, in essence, what you would call looking back at a mistake.
Sure.
He made a mistake. He tried to, extend a play, whatever it was, and time ran out without them getting a shot at the end zone. In that situation as a quarterback, and you're playing a team, that people think have a real chance. You're playing a team that people talk about having a real chance, and this is kind of like a big game. You're at their place. You have a chance to win this game, and you lose it, and you kind of lose it, if you will, on your mistake. Hmm. I think a lot of guys would just kind of like crumble at that. Like, you let your team down, you let the guys down. And just kind of go into like a, man, what, like, I let us down, right? What did he end up doing? They didn't lose another game. They play Oregon in the Rose Bowl, I believe, blow them out, go win a national championship. And it's like, I just love the fact that, to me, that's a winner.
Yeah.
That's a guy that made a mistake that was like, you know what? I can't tell you what he said or anything like that, but I'm sure he's thinking to himself like, I let the guys down. I let my team down. I let the fans down, the coaches, myself, my family. I'm not letting that happen again.
Yeah.
And he ends up running the table and winning the national championship. And people be like, yeah, but he had NFL like players around him. Okay, what's he going to have at the next level? Yeah, NFL right. players around him. Yeah. Plus, he beat player teams that had NFL players. Are you telling me Georgia and Alabama and these other teams didn't have NFL players? So to me, again, it's just a long-winded story about a guy that – or an action and what he did that I just really impressed me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I think that's an important fact about the Will Howard story is that there were times where it looked like things were crumbling. in a high-pressure program. The first time was his gaffe at Oregon. And then you looked ahead at the schedule. All right, they lost this game. That's okay, but they still have to play at Penn State. Like, what's going to be their fate? Did he just wreck their season with that play? Then the Michigan loss. They win at Penn State, and then the Michigan loss, which was a disaster. He throws two picks. They try to run the ball. They lose 13-10 at home to Michigan, and people want to burn down the program. You know what I mean? And fire the coach, get rid of everybody. We keep losing to Michigan. Michigan's not even good this year. What are we doing? And then I do agree with Ben that it showed a lot that he came back and helped them, led them to a national title. I mean, it wasn't all defense that won them a title. He had a lot of talent around him. I grant you that. They put up 42 on Tennessee. He goes 24-29. They beat Oregon in the rematch 41-21. They put up 41 more. He throws for 3 touchdowns, no picks, 319 yards. They come back. They beat Texas. They put up 28. Not a great game. And then Notre Dame, I mean, could you have asked for more? He was 17-21 for 231 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, and he ran for 57 or 60 yards, something in there. So that is a mark in his favor, limits. It is. A guy who's able to shrug off that stuff and show that he can bounce back and not just like survive, but be a reason, a big reason, in some cases the main reason why your team wins giant games.
He was. And I mean, that is something as a true feather in his cap that should be appreciated. It's something that Tomlin talked about. Like the ability, because there's so much adversity that goes on in the NFL. You're going to have so many ups, so many downs. You're not nearly going to win as many games in a season as you do in college, where the deck is stacked a little bit differently compared to the pros. So if you can do that in college and get over that adversity, and an older guy who has shown the ability to make some plays, that can help him at the next level. And it can keep him with his confidence level to be able to not get as flustered as maybe he did in college. Hopefully he learned from those mistakes.
Yeah, I think they drafted a guy who they want to compete, that they see may have a chance to compete. Certainly you don't draft him and say, that's our franchise guy, but I don't think you draft a guy, at least I don't, and say, yeah, we just took him so he can be a career backup. He's got the body type. He's got the recent resume where at least you can say, listen, this guy might have a chance. So I'm interested to track his progress. I'm also interested to see what happens with Aaron Rodgers. Is this going to happen anytime soon, limits?
I think it's going to be over the summer. Now, we are quickly approaching summer. You make it sound like it might be a little bit sooner than that if what you're hearing is true. And again, no reports, just rumors and speculations, but I think probably it's definitely going to happen before camp. I would say probably middle of June. I know I said July 1st.
I say much sooner. I say much sooner than that.
Like mid-May, tomorrow, next week,
a month. 10 minutes or so.
10 minutes. So it'll break.
No, I don't know.
Right at the top of the hour.
But I do think it's going to happen soon. I mean, it's ridiculous, the idea that it would go up to training camp. Come on. I think it's going to happen soon. All right. We have a Paul Skeens Day at the Ball Yard today. And Tom Verducci, you know him probably from television, but also longtime writer for Sports Illustrated, did an outstanding piece on Skeens with some great quotes and how Skeens, in one way, he's making history, but he's also working against history on one front. And that was sort of the thrust of this story, and it was a great piece. Tell you about it next, and we'll talk about Skeens making another start. You know, every start he makes, I feel like there's a chance for a no-hitter. Honest to God, do you?
I do. It might be hard against the number one offense in Chicago today, but he has dominated the Cubs in a lot of his outings. Like, second outing of his career in Chicago, where did he go? 6 no-hit innings?
Exactly.
At Wrigley?
Yes, and I realize they're the number one offense in the league. I don't care what offense he's going against. I thought understandably, you know, sometimes it takes a guy a little while to get going. You know, in spring training, you're only throwing a couple of innings at a time mostly. Usually, you're going to take a little time to get going, but man, he's starting to warm up to the task. And I think today might be a real day. I'm going to predict 7 innings, 2 hits, no runs. You?
I'm going to say
11 strikeouts.
6 2/3, 9 Ks, 3 hits, 1 run.
Let's talk about him and the Verducci story coming up next. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. It's just about noon time, brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. And you can enter at 937thefan.com's contesting page now for your chance to win 2 tickets to the Pittsburgh Power and Fitness Festival on Sunday, May 11th at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. Limits, are you putting on a weightlifting exhibition there?
Highly doubt it, unless, as you mentioned before, I'm lifting toothpicks or twigs.
Yeah.
You think I could do well in that competition?
A twig, for sure.
Twigs?
Yeah, I think that would be wonderful.
Yeah.